A politician dies. He sees Peter at the pearly gates and he notices a new system. Apparently it was installed by Stephen Jobs, who died a few years ago. Now when you get up there, you actually vote whether you want to go to heaven or hell. You have to spend a day in each place and then make the decision. So the politician says he'll take hell first. He gets down there and he finds out it's a country club. He meets Lucifer, who hands him a huge martini. He goffs all day. His biggest political foe winds up being his caddy. All in all, it's just a great day in hell. He gets to heaven on the second day. He finds it clean, tidy, clouds, Gregorian chant, not all that exciting. So St. Peter says, what do you want? The guy chooses hell. Next thing you know, he's flung down. He finds himself in total darkness. It smells like ammonia down there. He hears a lot of screams. He sees Lucifer this time. This time it's no martini. It's just saying, welcome to hell. He says to Lucifer, says, what happened? And Lucifer replies with a wry smile, 2 days ago, we were in campaign mode. But now you voted. There's some good news we hear from Jesus today. And it's not about hell, it's about heaven. Listen again to what Jesus tells us. Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that don't wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief or moth can destroy is yours. For where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. Sisters and brothers, where are our hearts this morning? Do we really believe that Jesus is pleased to give us the kingdom? Do we really believe that the kingdom of God begins on the spot where we're standing, and we're here for God, and God is here for us? Where are our hearts this morning? It's a wonderful little book. It's called The Wet Engine, Exploring the Mad, Wild Miracle of the Heart. I think it will help us answer that question, where our hearts will be. It's written by Brian Doyle, and he writes it because his son Liam was born nine years ago. He looked like a cucumber on steroids. He was fat and bald and round. He looked healthy as a horse, but he wasn't. He was missing a chamber in his heart, which is a problem, as you need four chambers for smooth conduct in this valley of tears and fears. He only had three, so pretty soon he had open heart surgery, during which doctors cut him open, iced down his heart, shut it down for an hour or so while they worked on repair. That was when he was about 6 months old. I don't remember much about that time. It all rushed by me like a pain train. But Liam grows up to be a healthy kid whom his dad loves very much. I use that example because our hearts are meant to be flexed. These hearts of ours can do so much. And all too often, we subscribe them to be the hearts of Hallmark greeting cards. We forget that our hearts are muscles. To be women and men of faith, we have to stretch our hearts on a daily basis. Have we lost our ancient instinct to be astonished by daily life? Have our religious muscles atrophied because we live in such a secular culture? Do our hearts allow us to see the wide picture? And do they allow us to see that people are in need? And as Jesus tells us, to sell everything we have and be men and women for others. That author of the letter to the Hebrews says it so well. He says that faith is not certainty. fact, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The faith is really something we need to trust in. Listen again to what the author says. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were well tested. Now, when I was in graduate school at GW, the mantra pounded into my brain was, if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist. Now, that might be true for social science, but it's not true for faith. Remember, by faith, Abraham obeyed. He went out not knowing what was before him. He goes into the promised land by faith. And then he has a baby, past the years that he and his wife could have a baby. He believed in the promise of the Lord. He believed that the promise of God was trustworthy. And so for all of us, the one who made that promise to Abraham makes promises to each of us to be men and women for others in the world. Where are our hearts today? What is the faith content in our hearts? Many people, especially Catholics, often at times are practical atheists. We blot out faith from that whole horizon and the horizon of seeing the fingerprint of God on everything. Think of the atheism of the I that we can bring to life. Does anyone here know someone who's negative? Anyone work in government? Right? Anyone married, perhaps? Right? Atheism of the I, where I see what's wrong before I see what's right. Where I bring to everything my own inner mood, which needs some readjustment. Atheism of the I is people who actually get off on being negative. Do we at times do that? How about the atheism of an underdeveloped imagination? Has anyone here ever been bored? If you say yes, I'm going to say you're a practical atheist. With the gospel of Jesus, how can we be bored? There's so much for us to do out there. The only thing in the way is our imagination. People say, I don't know how to make a difference in the world. The only difference is that we're not bringing our imagination to it. How about the atheism of distraction? Anyone here ever get busy? Anyone here been stressed out this past week? Is anyone going to get stressed out today after hearing this homily? We live such busy lives, we almost bore one another by telling one another how busy we are, don't we? Again, I could go on and on with that list. Dr. Seuss says it better. How did it get so late so soon? It's night before it's afternoon. December is here before it's June. My goodness, how the time has flown. Jesus knows the time is short. He's on his way to Jerusalem to die in this gospel. That's why he tells us to stay awake and keep the lights on, for the bridegroom will come back when we don't know it. Will we be distracted in the middle of the night? Will we be ready for that celebration? Another way of putting it is life is short. To live every day as if it were your last, because someday you'll be right. Life is short, so do what you love to do and do it well today. Life is short, so forgive somebody. Look past the faults of others, just like you hope they'll do for you. Life is short, so flex your heart and make changes that will make a difference in this world. In conclusion, I read of a Jesuit who spent a month working with Mother Teresa in Calcutta. On the first morning, he meets Mother Teresa, and she asks him, "And what can I do for you?" So the Jesuit says, "Mother, I want you to pray for me that I have clarity for my life." And Mother Teresa says, "No, I won't." So, of course, the Jesuit isn't used to getting a no like that, right? And especially for Mother Teresa, says, "Why won't you pray for my intention?" And this is what Mother Teresa said. Mother Teresa says, "I've never had clarity in my life, but what I've always had is trust. So I'll pray that you trust." This is the conviction about things unseen. This is faith. If you can prove it, it's not faith. We're invited to beat in the rhythm of Jesus' sacred heart, who promises us the kingdom. Do we trust him? May God be praised.